Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Watto was introduced to us probably about 5 or 6 years ago. He came and spoke at one of our men's camps up in the high country, and someone just said, you need to get Watto down. And Watto comes from Brisbane. Watto is a truckie. He runs a truck driving school now up in Brisbane, a big truck driving school. He's a man's man. He's a big man. And he's got an incredible ministry that God started 15 years ago called Shed Happens. And it basically started out of just him being in the truck chatting to guys and sharing his love of Christ and seeing guys' lives turn around. And so Shed Happens started in his shed, in his yard. And now I think about once a month they get about 150 guys together. And Shed Happens happens all around Australia. And the thing I love about Watto is that what you see is what you get. He's real. He loves God. You're not going to get a three-part sermon this morning. You'll get lots and lots of stories. And I'll guarantee you, as I do sometimes, Watto, where are you going? But let me tell you, by the end, you'll know where Watto's been and where he's going. And the most important part is that you'll know that he loves God and that the message he shares is amazing. Let's welcome Watto as he comes. Hasn't he got a great
man
hug? Isn't he a big man?
Anyone need a man hug?
Well, let me get my glasses back on. Have a look at Watto's hair. When I first met Watto, he had a gollywog haircut like that. Watto's just finished chemo, and one of the things he said to God is, I don't want to lose my hair. Well, he lost it, but it's grown back again. And put some water on it, and it's a bit more springy, isn't it, Watto?
I could get a job as the local judge at the magistrate's court. But, you know, wherever I go now, people want to touch my hair. But I had a fight with God over my hair. I had this good head of hair, for those who know me. And when the specialist said to me, prior to chemo, he said, you're going to lose your hair and you'll know what fatigue means. And I went, no way, no chance. Fatigue's for bludgers and there she is, Graham, on the front of my phone, the girl of my dreams. Get your phone out and give us a look at what's on the front of your phone. And any bloke who was with me on Saturday morning, have you got your phones here to... come on. Christine even showed you the pic photo that she wanted on the front of your phone, and you're still that slow to get her face on the front of your phone. Now, if there's a bloke in here that's got a screen and you've got the girl of your dreams, please get her on the front screen. So every time you open your phone, you look at your woman. Don't look at anybody else's woman. And, you know, get over girls when they say, can we take your photo? And you go, I don't want my photo on your phone. I don't want my photo on your phone. And after a while, Margaret, the girl of my dreams, she actually poses for me now. And I hit the rapid fire and then I go, which one do you want on the front? And then I put it on there and I look at her. And then if Margaret rings me at any time of the day, I wouldn't care what company I'm in. I just say, sorry, fellas, the girl of my dreams is on my phone. And I talk to her. So all you lovely young men here, don't be stupid like I was and Graham when he was. He still can't get Chris's photo on the front of his screen. And yesterday, Chris is my witness to this. After the breakfast, he had the shudders and he got me down and he gave me a little talk about this morning's message and sent me to my room and made sure that I'd prepared for this morning. And there are the notes. The rest of the notes are down there. I thought I'd better prove to him that I actually did prepare. Oh, that's okay. But Firstly, the praise team. Oh, I've never been invited up the front to sing. But people like my voice on the radio and things like that. But that this morning, I'm going to go home and tell Margaret about that. Please stand, everyone who is out the front here. Just stand where you are. The praise team. I looked at every face. I looked into your eyes. I looked into your heart. And it gave me immense joy. Where's the trumpeter? Where was he? Yeah, give him a cheer. The drummer. The lovely girl here with the blue jacket on and the nice coffee boots here. The beautiful girl over the back here that played the violin. My grandson signed up to number 35 for North Melbourne, and he's 195 tall. And I said, Lord, I think I'm going to see if I can get him out to Gray and Chris's church, because there's a few of those praise girls. I hope they haven't got boyfriends, because he's a good and godly man. Number 35. And if you want his phone number, I can even give you that too. Anyway, I'm serious. I've put a lot of preparation into this. Why are you laughing? I'm a happy man. And 15 years, my journey with prostate, and that's been interesting. And I didn't realise that God was going to unearth Shed Happens Ministry for Men about the same time. And I didn't go into any desperate spin when I found out that day that I had to have the thing removed. But I choose not to use the C word over my body, because it's a killing word. And for all those who haven't had the experience of the C word over their body, don't bother using it. It's not God's word. And when you're in that place, you can be talking about it all day, and it's actually a depressing place to be. And then, so I got the hair. It's pretty cool. Hey, one last quick story, Graham, about the hair. We were down at Torquay, Margaret and I, and she's pretty good looking now, my Margaret. She's dropped dead gorgeous. We were down at Torquay, and she said to me, I think you need a bit of a trim just to get a bit of shape. So we went into this hairdressing salon, and there was a woman there who was obviously running the hairdressing salon, and she actually looked a bit like Denny. Stand up, Denny. Come on. You're a character man. It was wild, and she had it pulled up over the top. His character, he's got rings on every finger, and I challenged him, where'd you get all those rings for? You know, and he said, what was your first ring? It was about the Lone Ranger or something. Yeah. So I was all primed up to get my hair trimmed, and Margaret said, oh, this is post-chemo hair. And you know what the lady said to Margaret? I'm not going to cut his hair. It looks fantastic. Tell him to go wild. So at 72, I'm going wild. And I'm going wild for God. Because ever our country needed men to stand up and go wild for God and know Jesus. It's right now, because we are stuffing up a good country. And girls, please hear what I'm saying very clearly today. I've got three sons. I've got three daughter-in-laws. I've got six grandchildren, three boys and three girls. And I love my place and I love my country. I'm not here to sell you a book. That first book I wrote, I can't spell. My spell check is, hey, doll, how do you spell? And she knows how to spell them. 5 years ago, I wrote that book, Every Bloke's a Champion, Even You. And that's a journey from a man's head to his heart. Oh, gee, what happened there, Graham? And I guarantee if anyone gets to read that book and gets to chapter 9, he knows what call upon the name of the Lord and be saved means. And then the girls who know the blokes who get to the end of this book, they know that they've got a man that gets into his heart. And then I thought, oh, you whoopee boo, it's good. And so I constantly get calls and emails and The book still goes great. It's in a couple of places. And it's an honour when someone sends you an email or tells you they've got something out of the book that God gave you to read. And I wrote that out of frustration because I went to Coorong. You might have heard this. I'd go to Margaret, would be in Coorong, spending money, buying a lot of stuff, and I'd go and check out the men's section, and I could do that in about 30 seconds because there's about 78% of Australian men don't read. That's fact. So I said, Lord, I want to write a book to the 78% of men that they'll read one book. And I want the book, Lord, that you can't buy. The book that you can give to anyone down the road, any bloke who's got any hang-ups about anything at all. And that was the book. I designed the cover. I'm a bit, arty, whatever it is. And when I finished that book, then that was 5 years ago. And then God woke me up again and he said, I want you to deal with your shame. And I went, what are you talking about? Shame, don't know what you're talking about. So he, in my first book, you notice that I hang on to, my mother was electrocuted when I was 15. She was dead on the floor. And I found her and so my life of grief began. And then when I was 22, my younger sister just dropped dead with a heart attack. And so I had this massive grief problem. And so I've got everyone feeling sorry for me, and I just really sucked on that all my life. But deep down, the undercurrent of me was sexual abuse by my uncle, which I didn't tell anyone about. Also, my sister and some other cousins. And with a personality like me, you did not want to play football as my opponent, because that was my anger management all through my life. And I was pretty successful in football, not knowing that that's me hiding my anger, deep-seated anger from abuse and shame. So God taught me in his way about shame. So then I wrote this little book, Champion Blokes Shed Their Shame. Everyone in this room's probably been shamed or have shamed someone somewhere along the journey, and then they don't know what to do about it. And then, of course, this in my travels with men, and it's not just 15 years, I've been football coach. I love men. My natural gift is encouragement. Then I knew very conclusively that the biggest problem that we have in our country is denying the spiritual part of who we are. You got that? And every man that I know wants to love a woman the right way. And most of us started off in a place of lust. And there's a lot of brokenness in our country in love. And the only true love is 1 John 4:7. Love is of God. And if you don't get to the spiritual part of love, you just don't get it. And if you want to be healed of brokenness in love, like broken men that I know, and there'll be broken men here today, is healings at the cross with Jesus. He shed his blood to give us a clean sweep. There are so many beautiful women that sit in church now that can't take on the baggage of another man because of the pain and shame or whatever it is. And there are so many men that are sitting in church just wondering if they could ever love again. And love is of God. And I can tell you, I've seen women wait for men's hearts, and they miss out on the best part of man because men think we think we can do God in our heads. And God is all about love in our heart, and love into our hearts, and love into our and love into our brothers. So that's how those three books happened. Even the love book's hard to read because it can hurt. And yet people go, oh, the love book's the best book. And Margaret's got her little Margaret head in the book because my editor said, oh, you need a bit of Margaret in that book. And every word in that book that's got Margaret's head beside, that's her. And she's not like me. She wouldn't want to come up the front here unless she was so well prepared, Graham. It would be like you. Everything's got to be perfectly planned and everything's got to be right. Well, that's why we're such a good combination. If we both lived in the same town, man, oh, we could take them on. big time. So, and I've got audio books for a lot of men. To stick an audio in the car is the best way to get ministry, and listen and listen and listen, and then they get the message, and then they go look at Graham, they find the pastor, and then they say, geez, I've got some stuff I've got to sort out. That's what happens in the heart of a man. And then a man wants to get fixed in his heart that quick, it's not funny. So if any of you girls have got blokes that are hanging out trying to get sorted out, I can tell you without doubt that God can bring marriages from the deepest part of despair and where you think that they could not be restored. I can tell you, people sit in our house, and we don't advertise them, and I'm no counsellor, I'm not a preacher, and I'm nothing. I'm an encourager, and I'm a lover of my brother and sister. And he'll be telling me afterwards how I'm going, so it's a worry. But I love him. I think he's fantastic. And this year, when I come down to see him now, you know, you're more gentle. You're more gentle. Your heart is softer. And we went for a drive up the bush there yesterday, and it was just a joy to be in your car. So the musos, I appreciated very much you this morning. Because you put peace in my heart and soul. You put peace. You blanked out everything in my brain that was negative. Everything that was a bit painful. I just sat there and I just said, Lord, thank you for this beautiful music. Thank you for these beautiful people. And I just let that come into my soul and my head. And that drive up through those orchards yesterday was pretty good too. Okay. So today, about a couple of months ago, God clearly said to me, I want you to get the word anxiety and know what it means. Anxiety. Probably no one down here in Victoria knows what it means, doesn't experience it. We don't worry down here. We don't get stressed down here. But for me, why would God want me to know what anxiety means? And he said, I want you to get this into your head and your heart, and I want you to take it to everywhere you go and talk about anxiety. We've got the black dog, depression. We've got money goes into a big hole. We've got depression every which way you go. And I can tell you, chemo can bring people into depression without even trying. But depression and anxiety ain't the same. But one can go into the other. So here we are. Could you put that first little... now have a little look at this and read it. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, that was written how many years ago? This isn't something new. This is something they had to put up with way back. So here we are. We live in this place. And I came down on the 737. And I'm walking like I'm a busted down, broken down camel. But God gives me the energy to keep this old camel moving. Now, when I've been searching my heart over anxiety, I think, gee, I think I could probably get a doctorate in anxiety over my life. You know, it's probably since those things that knocked me around, the grief in my heart, no one really told me how to manage that. No one really told me much about the interference that happened to me. So I just played the game and got on with life. But God gave me this woman, this beautiful girl. Graham, could I look at Chris on your phone, please? There's Margaret. There she is. Oops. There she is. She's there. When I look back, 51 years we've been married in Christmas Eve, God knew I needed a real solid girl. She was 15 and a half. And I've never seen her do anything else but love God. And she's as solid as a rock. And also beautiful to look at, and everything about it is beautiful. But in my journey as a man, God knew I needed this godly woman to love into my heart, to take me through all these battles so that I could actually stand up and be the man he created me to be, so that I can give covering over Margaret as the spine of our whole relationship and our family. Girls, hear what I'm saying. This isn't what's being portrayed to our girls or our young women of our country. Love into the man of your dreams so that he can become the man who God created him to be, so he can stand up and cover you to be who you are. There's no competition. There's no getting square. It's like that big bale of hay out in the paddock there. It just gets bigger and stronger and tougher. And you just love and love and love. And it's that 1 John 4:7 stuff. So when I'm going through all this anxiety stuff, I've still got this girl who loves into me. And for a lot of my life, I bludged off Margaret for my faith. Okay? But 15 years ago when I had to face the music of having my prostate removed, I was scared. I was so scared. When I walked down to that theatre with my bag, and my wife was with me, and one of my sons was like, I don't want to face this. And I was thinking about it early this morning when I was listening to God about this again. And he said, just tell him a little bit about your journey, about your anxiety. And I said, Lord, I didn't have anxiety. He said, you had it all your life. He said, now you're ready to listen and pass it on. Because he said, we're so anxious, our people. We're so anxious. And we're so worrying all the time. And up there we've got, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Well, I didn't realize, I probably didn't even know it then, to present them to God. Okay? So if you're sitting here now and you've got one itsy-bitsy little bit of anxiety or worry about something, and it could be you might be walking into losing a job this week, you might have a relational problem, you might be stressed, you might be worrying about your health, you might be worrying about any number of issues. There's so many of them, they just keep coming out. That there is a promise. And that's out of the work manual. And the work manual, I haven't seen the world's work manual do better than the work manual of God's work manual from start to finish. And it's proven. So, and that next bit, get this bit. What's the piece? Graham asked me what the piece was yesterday, and I thought I was in school and I couldn't answer him. I was shuddering. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, get this bit, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What's that mean? I told you this book's about the journey for a man to get into his heart. But women are becoming tougher every day, and women are doing life in their head, so we're missing the heart connection. And there's only one bloke who fixes hearts and gives guarantees, and that's the creator of the universe, who blew the first breath into me, and when he's finished with me on the earth, he'll take me home. And until there, he's the only bloke that can heal my heart. Not good advice or good anything. I have to give my heart to God. And girls, we have to do it the same way every day, and it's no different at 72. So, okay, that for me, I've even done it the old way. I get Bible texts sent to me every day. I've got 1,000 mates on my phone, and they're all champions. I even said to Margaret, up at Toowoomba when I gave this message or something like this message, I said, can I cut out 150 of these? And can I cut out 150 of these? I've still got a few because, you know, for a bloke, a lot of blokes like to have something in their pocket that at times they can pull out and read. And, yeah, I can look up the Bible on my phone and all that sort of stuff, but sometimes men like something to really grab hold of. Okay, so anxiety. Can we have the next one too? So we don't get too... okay, have a look at this one. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or about your body. Now, I am too fat and I don't like it. But have any of you ever stayed in the downstairs department of Chris and... Huh? The home cooking... You know, unbelievable fairy coming. I'm going, no, no. And Margaret's the same at home too. But I've got these hormones I take every night, these four hormones, and I can use that as an excuse for just about anything, like why I'm sweating now. This is about your body or what you will wear. Now, did you notice, see this check shirt, did you notice, were you watching the announcements? Serge had this shirt on. And Graham had it on too. This is the official uniform for anyone who preaches out the front. You've got to wear this blue check shirt. You can put them up again. If you weren't watching, it's time you came to church expecting a miracle from God. There he is. There he is. Have a look at that. How about that? So, this is why Graham and I get on so well. He's the boss. He's like attention to detail, the principal and every other thing. And I'm the happy man in the middle. I don't care less what we do in the middle. I want to get it done and I want to take no prisoners in the middle. But I watch while I'm talking, I'm still listening. So how about that for observation? I haven't lost it yet, have I? What do you think about the blue shirt uniform for the church? Anyway, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Think about this. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Can any one of you be worrying to add a single hour to your life? Oh, I'll talk about that in a minute. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of those. And the next one is, if that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today and tomorrow is it's thrown in the fire, will he not be much more clothe you, you of little faith? Me of little faith, I didn't even know enough about the word and I didn't know anything. So my life of anxiety and worry was, I was probably innocent because nobody really said, hey, get this into you, get this promise. Have a red hot talk to God about this. He's the only way out through Jesus. So the pagans run after all these things and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But this one. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be given to you as well. That line is an absolute game changer. And sometimes you have to get that and read it and read it and read it. There's many a night I would say the 23rd Psalm, that first bit down to you restore my soul. I might say that 100 times and I just soak in that. Because that's where I need to be, totally immersed in my relationship with God. And Margaret can't do that. No one can do that for you, even a Sunday morning message. You get here this morning and you hear what God wants you to hear through what he has given me to say. And if it's getting into your heart today, don't go home. Don't go home. See Graham, whatever you've got to do. See how fantastic was that. I met a church today. And I went, wow, what's it like to be a 100-year champion? Have a look at him. Isn't he fantastic? I love him. And if I get to be, God wants me to be here and run 100, I want to be like him. But I'd like to see a bit more because he's got a good-looking wife. The Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Okay, you got the message. Can we have a couple of those slides now to help our minds, our brains go into? Have a look at this. You can get that ringtone on your phone. I have it, and wherever I am, I try and let it ring. And you'll be in the shop, and we're all, you know how now Aussies, we're all serious and we think we're so important? That is a game breaker. And you go, is there a magpie in here? But God feeds those magpies. I don't like the magpies as a football team, but okay, let's have another look at the beauty of what God. Now, see this photo. They're galahs, aren't they? Anyone know where that photo's taken? 375 k's north of Alice Springs at a place called Ali Kurung. Our mate, my young mate, has his wife and four children there, and they grow watermelons there. It's Aboriginal Reserve, and he's got a 99-year lease of that property, and they've given him the right to clear and grow. He's got oodles amount of water there. He has the biggest watermelons in wherever. And while this rain's been cutting up this east coast of Australia, 2 weeks' time, he goes and picks the biggest watermelons. Now, we live down here in the southeast corner. We wouldn't have a clue what God's got going on up there. And look at the birds up there. Look at those beautiful birds. And, you know, you go, and they're those beautiful greenies, aren't they? And you go, well, who feeds them? But God cares more for us than he does for the birds. All right, we'll roll on. How are we going? Graham, I haven't seen the hand go up yet. Where are we? Anyone know where that is? Huh? What are you seeing? What are you looking at? Are you looking at the bitumen? Are you seeing the stars or are you seeing the bars? Those beautiful flowers, they're outside here. And so if you're going to take aboard the worry and the anxiety, you know what it does? It pulls negative stuff into your brain. And you can get so bogged down with negativity coming into your brain that you are so down, you can hardly get up. And before you go to the doctor and need a tranquilizer, go to the big doctor. Think about his beautiful flowers and think about his beautiful birds and sit down and go into Gaga La La Land. Switch off and relax. And you don't relax by sitting in a chair falling asleep. I live at Woody Point on the water up in Brisbane, north. I look out into a beautiful garden. I look out into the water. When the tide's low, we see rocks. We see the planes come in. We see Moreton Island. We see ships go out all the time. And since God's hammered me about knowing about anxiety, he said, enjoy my beauty and my beauty. I went in the trees. I'm not really a tree hugger. I know Graham is, but I like the water. I love the water. So if you're hearing this today about anxiety or worry or stress, then soon as stress comes upon you, you can thank God for the indicator, the warning light. It's like the beeper goes off and he gives you an opportunity to pull in with him and take a board into your brain and just go, where am I? What am I doing? Why am I so bogged down with all this heavy stuff that's just weighed me down? Now, anyone in ministry can be so down because you hear so much negativity in our beautiful world. We walk around smiling like everyone's done up like a fancy dress ball, but inside we're in deep pain. And in churches here, sadly, we're sitting in here, we're smiling like as though it's Christmas today, but the sun's not shining in us. And when I saw that praise team up the front there this morning, do you know what? They all looked to me like they'd swallowed the sun, the swallow of the Holy Spirit and the joy that was on their face. And they looked that good. Yeah, I could sit back there and just savor the goodness of God within what he puts into the head of a person. Now, young people here who are praising God, they can have heavy, hard issues of worry and anxiety. The other thing that God taught me to do, he said, worry. He said, sit down and have a think about what you're worrying about, and then have a think about whether you can make it a concern. And if it's a worry, probably 85% of them won't even come you won't even have to think about it because it ain't going to happen anyway. So I'm, oh. And he said, if they're genuine concerns, you can talk to me about them and we'll sort them out. And don't go to bed at night without dumping all those little bits of worry on me. Just do the dump down. And if you have to, take aboard the beauty into your mind. Put some beautiful praise music on. Put some anything that really relaxes your head and your heart, and you can take into your brain the joy. Now, you just have a think. If you're a non-believer, would your head be smashing by now? Of course it is. Why have we got this massive problem of mental disorder in our country? Because we step away from we don't acknowledge the heart of God. It's that Bible verse where if you don't have God build the building, you may as well stop building the building. And if you don't have him watch over the job, you may as well stay in bed asleep. So anywhere in my life where I've denied the spiritual part of who I am, I paid a big price in my life. And those that I love closest to me also were the ones most hurt because of my ignorance to knowing the faith and the trust in God. And you might say, it's all right for you, Watto. You trust in God. You know what? I ask God every morning. I thank him for healing my body. I thank him for giving me another day and giving me all the energy I need to do the day with. And I thank him for Margaret and my family and all those around. And what's the other thing I do? I say, Lord, can you teach me to trust you more today? Because you know when the football game's on and it's dirty and it's tough and it's three-quarter time and a lot of the spectators go home and think the game's over. I want to be that player, Lord, that you can put on the field and put at the first ball and know that I'll be at the bottom of the pack. And no matter how hard that game is, I can trust in you, Lord, and the worry and any concerns that I've got go to you first. So that's my message this morning. Make sure, too, that you look after your sleep. I'm a professor in sleep. I used to tell people sleeping is a waste of time. There's more life to be lived in the day. You'd be like that, Graham, come on, we'll do more stuff. But if back in the 2,000 years ago they needed to have sleep every day, well, what's changed today? So if you remember this word, if you're hungry, angry, lonely or tired, halt, you're in trouble. If you've got any of those things that are really getting at you, you're in trouble. So if you're tired, especially men, you can't go many days without sleep. And if you do, you're dead. You'll die. You just that's an absolute. So sleep is a must, and good sleep. I will sleep with a CPAP machine. No one would. If anyone came to rob me at night, I have a CPAP mask. I have a short test that I have been anxious for a long time. I have a mouth guard on my top teeth so I don't grind them, and I don't know. I didn't know that I did that. But God's always God telling me this at 72. Come on, Watto, it's time you woke up to this and passed this message on. So sleep is so important, and good sleep is so, so important. If you wake up through the night and it's just you and everyone's dark around you, don't go and turn the TV on. Get out there and sit down and say, Lord, thanks for waking me up. It's just you and me. What do you got? What are we doing? What's special? And have a little time listening to God and fill your brain that overflows all the negativity that you've taken in and you haven't even realised you've taken it in. So, and in the early warning signs of that anxiety, if the button goes off and you think, uh-oh, Lord, thank you for this warning of anxiety. Thank you for this warning of worry. Please, can we have a little chat about this? I want to hand this to you, and I want to know which ones that I can be genuinely concerned about, and which ones are just let them go because they're a waste of time. So I think I'll stop there. Have we got anything else to show up there? Just to wake people up, okay? And let's go back to that text and have a little moment to look at it. And how about that? Thank you, Lord, we're finished on time. But in little word, anxiety, think about our whole country now. The speed at which we live, the pressure at which we live, we're in trouble, aren't we? We're worrying, we're stressed, and we're anxious. But we have the creator of the universe who gives us a promise, gives us the keys to get out of jail with anxiety, stress, and worry, and to give us freedom. And at the cross of Jesus, we can become the real person who he's created us to be. Can we just pray together now? Lord, oh Lord, thank you today that I could come here knowing that what came out of my mouth today is what you wanted me to say, every bit of it. And I know that you are speaking to these beautiful people that you've given me the honour to be in front of. And Lord, I pray that they will take aboard whatever part of it today that is important to them, and that the rest could just fly away like the bird. And Lord, I pray that each one of them, if they have come to a point where they know they need some help with anxiety or worry and stress, whatever it might be, that they could comfortably come to this beautiful place, come to the front, or I'm quite happy to sit here and, or your prayer team or your pastor or whoever. But don't walk away from when God, Lord, thank you for giving us this message. And Lord, I just pray for your mighty Holy Spirit to just wash over each person in a new way so that they can go home today from this beautiful place knowing that they will be different and those that they live with will be better off and the world will be a better place. And I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.